and welcome to Slack and Wood Podcast number 10. I'm Jed Kernion.
And I'm Debbie Serta.
And the big news in Austin film this week is that Machete, Robert Rodriguez's latest film, is filming around Austin and has a mighty eclectic cast. I believe the cast includes, Debbie, you're going to have to fill me in, I'm trying to remember. First of all, Danny Trejo, of course, because he's from the original trailer and he's Machete. But also Robert De Niro, Lindsay Lohan, Jessica Alba, Don Johnson, and a lot of other people I can't remember.
I can't wait.
Jeez, people,
there's so much going on.
Cast.
With all the red carpets going on, I'm just tapped out when it comes to who's participating. But just got to say, there's a lot of big names that have been around here in Austin recently.
Yeah.
And will be coming up the next week and a half.
So, you know, keep your eyes out. You never know who you're going to run into where. And that, you know, people have been seeing them filming around downtown, so it's not just a troublemaker. They could be anywhere. And speaking of red carpets, we will be covering some red carpets in the next week or so. We have the Shorts red carpet coming up on Sunday, speaking of Robert Rodriguez. And he will be there along with some of the cast.
And Extract.
Yes, but you will be there for Shorts.
I'll be there for Shorts. I'll be covering that. And wish me luck, because that will be after the Inglourious Bastards Cinemapocalypse. And say that three times very fast, I dare you.
Which ends at 9 a.m. and then the red carpet is at 2 p.m. So Debbie will be really punchy.
Yes, Jet's such a slave driver. The things I do for free. But no, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend. And then we also have, what else?
Yes, Extract. Mike Judge's film Extract is having a red carpet on Tuesday the 18th as part of their premiere at the Paramount. Both of these premieres are at the Paramount, which is just, you know, the place for fabulous red carpets. Mike Judge and Jason Bateman will be at that premiere. And I'm hoping Debbie and I will both be there. We're not confirmed yet, but we're hoping to be there and give you all the scoop.
It really is amazing just to see how many red carpet events are going on in Austin right now. You would think that the Austin Film Festival was already going on, or South by Southwest was here, but it's just really a kind of good sign to see that much in regards to films being here. This past week, I went to another red carpet event for Band Slam, which is a nice film that was filmed locally. Also included some Austin bands, some young folks.
It was filmed here in Austin in early 2008, and you may remember during South by Southwest, which was really crazy. At the time, it was filming under the title of Will, because when I heard Band Slam was coming out, I had no idea what they were talking about until somebody said, oh, that's Will. Vanessa Hudgens was here in town. She's the High School Musical star, and she's in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And who else? As far as locally, it was interesting. One of the folks who I just, not being the quite demographic, had no idea who Bobby Bones was until the other night. It's amazing to see the following that he has. He's actually, I think, the number one DJ right now in Austin as far as his numbers in the 18 to 35 age group.
Every time he came on screen, the audience would start screaming. You would have thought the Beatles were in the theater. It was crazy.
I had a chance to talk to him on the red carpet and found him to be just a very, despite his radio personality and following all that, very humble, you know, really great guy. Kind of, you know, just really didn't want the attention to be on him. He felt it was more about the main characters and the bands and such. And also there were a couple of the bands there as well. And I tell you what, those boys, they were troopers, because they were there. It must have been 102, 103, and they played beforehand. So it was a nice little treat
outside
for everyone.
They played outside. Yeah. And they didn't melt. It was, the bands are The Days.
The Days and Joker. Mm-hmm. And in fact, actually, they are having a show on Friday at Jovita's on the same day the Band Slam comes out. And that's at 7:30, and it turns out that admission is free with a ticket stub. I think it's only like $2 if you don't have a ticket stub. And really great to, if you get a chance, get out and support some young local talent. That would be great.
So you can go see them in Band Slam, and then you can go over to Jovita's and see them in person.
Yeah, we were able to see the movie, and we might have a review later.
We'll have a review later this week.
Yeah, definitely, it's a movie I want to talk about. It's a kind of a family-friendly film, so.
And if it gets a little slow, you can try to guess where in Austin they're filming. I recognize Hogg Auditorium on the UT campus, and there are a couple. Where is it, McCallum? They did a lot of filming at McCallum.
And the school, I think at the School for the Blind as well, is where they filmed some of that. So, well, while we're on the topic of Austin music, I had an opportunity earlier today to speak with Lang Freeman with Sounds Under Radio. If you're not familiar with Sounds Under Radio, they're a local Austin band. And they've done a few pieces here and there in movies and such. In fact, but most importantly, or I should say what most people know them from, is their song Portrait of a Summer Thief appeared in Spider-Man 3. And so today, Lane talked a little bit about that.
Okay, we're going to cut to Debbie's interview with the band.
Well, I'm Debbie with Slackerwood, and today we're here with Lang Freeman of Sounds Under Radio.
Hello, hello.
And our theme this week for our podcast is music in movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get together with you to talk about you because you've had a little bit of experience in movies. Tell us a little bit about your band's involvement in specifically in Spider-Man 3.
Sure. We've had a few situations with film and TV placements, the largest and most significant of which was Spider-Man 3, where we were the only unsigned band that was involved in the soundtrack, amongst bands like Snow Patrol, Wolf Mother, Jet, and some other bands. Flaming Lips, huge Flaming Lips fan. So, yeah, that was a really great experience for us in terms of kind of being able to knock down some doors that we were already pushing in terms of getting some more national exposure, meeting some people and gaining some more fans and those sorts of things. And also it was a great thing just to be involved in a film like that. You know, it has such history and such, you know, so much going on with it.
So how were y'all able to get involved with such a big project? I mean, as a band, how did that
come
to...
Well, that one, we had been working on a record, and we had been wrapping up production of the record, and we're not quite sure what we're going to do with release. We'd had some label interest in those sorts of things. Weren't sure if we're going to do an independent release or go with a label. But basically, in that time, we're sort of, you know, just handing out discs and getting it to people in the industry to see what their interest levels were, and also to see if anyone would be interested in you know, movie, you know, film sort of placements, so that we could, you know, possibly make some revenue off the record before it was even released. And so, just through, I kind of describe it as an extended handshake through a friend of a friend, someone who used to work with our drummer's old band, their old manager who was in Los Angeles. Interesting story where he had the record, and he had premixes of the record and was playing it in his car, and a buddy of his got in the car and was like, "Man, what is this? This is fantastic." And he told him who it was, and he's like, "You know, I would love to work with this." And so he reached out to us, and he ended up being a music supervisor, and through, you know, several different attempts trying to get us in some films and whatnot, basically got in the hands of Sam Raimi, the director of Spider-Man, and you know, Sam basically said, "This, you know, I want to use this. I want to find a way to use this." So,
well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's really good. And so you're saying you'd worked on some other projects.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all have anything coming up as far as? I know that you're busy working on an album
now,
but do you have any plans to kind of reach out beyond the albums?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're always looking for different opportunities. You know, the record, the first record that we put out was called Cinematica, and the name came about actually before anything ever happened with us and music and film. But it's a good fit, actually, because the music that we write and the music that we make has, at least in our minds and as people have described to us, this sort of cinematic appeal where, you know, it's you know, large landscapes and very, you know, very visual, you know, and paired and matched very well with film and those sorts of things. So, I mean, yeah, we're always looking for those sorts of opportunities. Right now, the main focus is recording this new record. And we have some people that are working our back catalog, you know, trying to find, you know, different opportunities for the music. But yeah, I mean, we've had other things, like we wrote and recorded the end theme for War Games 2, which was a sequel to the 1984 Matthew Broderick flick.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It was a direct-to-DVD thing, but it was a great movie, actually, and it was a really cool opportunity to kind of take something from the ground up, you know, an idea, and fit it to the film. They also used some other pieces of music that we had recorded. We've had, you know, MTV placements and other sort of commercial things with Dell and some things like that. But, you know, we're always looking for new opportunities to kind of pair the music with the film, because it really is a great match. And, you know, and the music really can really make the visual things speak, you know, more than, you know, they do just as visual elements. And you know, in turn, you know, the visual elements can make the music speak just the same.
I think one of the things that we were briefly talking about earlier was John Hughes, mm-hmm. having passed away, and, mm-hmm. and my thought—I kind of wanted to know what your thoughts were as far as John Hughes and his influence, and even like what was your favorite? You know, what would you say was your favorite John Hughes film?
I'm trying to think, what he did was really bring in the '80s, bring pop music into the forefront of what was happening in film, you know, because a lot of his films were pop culture films, you know, and he was able to bring, you know, these, you know, tie in these elements of music that were in the modern context and put them in, and really place them in ways where, you know, they had these massive impacts and these, you know, everyone remembers I forget the name of the movie, but it's John Cusack holding up the boombox, you know. And I actually heard a story about that. What?
Say Anything? With, yeah, yeah. Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah. But originally it wasn't that song. And I believe like when they were actually shooting, I forget what song it was, but it made no sense whatsoever that was the song that, like, when they actually shot the movie, he was playing something else. But they ended up overdubbing that song into the movie. Oh, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. But it was one of those things that in post-production, John changed the music because that song just kind of summed things up, you know. But yeah, it's a very sad thing that he passed, because he really, you know, kind of shifted that, you know, that paradigm for what was happening with pop music and film.
I have to say, I think one of the most memorable moments I have of the John Hughes film was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, mm-hmm. where, you know, John Candy and Steve Martin wake up in bed with one another, and the radio's playing, you know, Patsy Cline, Back in Baby's Arms.
Yeah.
Those aren't pillows.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So, well, that's great. You were saying earlier about that you were fortunate through, you said kind of out the through a friend of a friend, mm-hmm. to get involved. I'm kind of often surprised that when I'm at South by Southwest for the film portion, mm-hmm. that I don't see a lot more musicians out and about during that time. And I've talked to musicians who kind of feel that their job doesn't start until Wednesday, when the music fest starts.
Yeah, we, you know, every South by Southwest, we try to, you know, route our touring here early in the week so that we can be here for the film stuff, because, you know, the film industry and the music industry and all, really, like, any media that is, any entertainment media these days, everything is so cross-collaborative and there's all these sort of connections that you really can't separate them anymore. You know, I mean, South by Southwest is a great example of, you know, the early week is film and later week is music. But to me, I kind of feel like they should be at the same time, because so much of the same thing goes on. And, you know, it's just a melting pot of you know, industry folk that, you know, are here to connect and, you know, build relationships. And having them separate as such, you know, really kind of exclude certain elements and yeah.
So. And I've noticed that over the last couple of years, they're doing a lot more to try to have kind of like these cross-media panels and stuff, or even the filmings that they'll show. Like, mm-hmm. you can go see a film if you have a music badge, because they'll have a series of like music films. But I still think that there's like a lot of musicians that don't recognize the opportunity that is there. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they necessarily have to have, you know, get a full platinum badge to be able to be there. It's part of getting out and about and meeting people that are, you know, visiting the city.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because music and film, for artists does one of many things. What does many things, and one of which is, you know, obviously an exposure to a larger audience than you would have previously reached in a medium that that you know you yourself could not access. And two, with the way that the music industry is going these days, with record sales being down, you know, you have to seek out like alternative revenue streams, and you know, movies and film is a great place for music and or for artists and bands to access a revenue stream that you can make money and you can make a living. You know, like some of our music placements have funded tours that we knew we were going to take a massive loss on, but we're building opportunities for us in terms of, you know, gaining audience and building fans. But otherwise we would not have been able to afford doing them. But because of music and film and TV and those sorts of things, we're able to do those sorts of things.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Because that's one of my questions would be, what kind of impact, you know, had you know, the Spider-Man 3 with the summer of Portrait of a Summer Thief was definitely... You know, just seeing that was just so massive there.
Yeah, you know, we have a van, and his name is Spidey Van because it paid for it. You know, that film placement paid for a van for us. You know, for our travel, as well as you know a lot of other endeavors that otherwise we would not have been able to afford.
Well, any last words or thoughts on the discussion of I guess music and films and.
Hopefully you'll see more of our music and films coming here pretty soon. We're working on a couple of projects right now that are hopefully going to see the light of day in the national sphere, as well as there's a handful of locally worked projects that we're trying to pair with right now. So hopefully some of those we'll see coming up pretty soon.
Well, that's great. Well, good luck, and I hope things go well for you and the rest of the guys at Sounds Under Radio.
Cool. Well, no, thank you.
And you'll have a show coming up too, right?
We do, yeah. We're kind of laying low a little bit right now while we're working on a new record, but we're kind of doing spot dates every now and again. And our good friends Mother's Anthem, another local band, are releasing a record this coming Saturday. Yeah, mm-hmm. Saturday at La Zona Rosa, and we're gonna do a support slot for them. So the 15th, Saturday the 15th, is on record.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you for
supporting Slackerwood.
Absolutely.
Cool. I noticed you guys mentioned John Hughes.
Yes.
I mean, we're all sad that he passed away last week. So.
Yeah, it is because, I had thought about I wanted to talk about music and movies because two things that I love besides food, which is our topic last time. But, I had thought of John Hughes when I was prepping for this, and I wanted to talk about his influences. So it was very, it was kind of just bittersweet that we had this topic lined up, and then this happened. Because as Lang mentioned, John Hughes definitely had this huge kind of effect when it came to films. And it's funny because we make the reference in talking about some of our favorite moments. When I saw Julie and Julia today, I was reminded of that in the one scene with as she's trying to address, trying to get the lobsters into pot and being a lobster killer. And they're playing Talking Heads' Psycho Killer at that time. And I was like, that was just so funny.
Yes, that was perfect. She was lobster killer. I'd like it if we, in the future, I'm hoping we'll do some more Austin music and movie tie-ins with some Austin composers. Those of you who are listening and have some good ideas on people we should talk to, please let me know. Graham Reynolds is someone I particularly enjoy listening to his music, and especially in movies.
Yeah, I think I love the work that he does with Golden Arm Trio and taking some of the real classics and adding, his take on it. It's funny that one of the projects he's taken on had been Metropolis, which I have to say, Metropolis, loved the classic film, and I was just traumatized when they redid the soundtrack and it was like Pat Benatar or whatever, that modernization, and it was just, to me, it was just blasphemous. But the work that Graham Reynolds does with what he does, he really, looks at the composition, he looks at the film, and he does a wonderful job of just kind of having a synchronicity there. That it makes it a very enjoyable event.
For those of us, for those of you who are not familiar with Graham Reynolds, besides doing Golden Arm Trio, he has scored some films like A Scanner Darkly and Gretchen, which I think will be coming out on DVD this fall, finally. And he's also done some accompaniment for silent film screenings in Austin, not just Metropolis, but
I think did they do the General by Buster Keaton? I believe
that's Guy Forsythe, I think.
Oh God!
But a few years ago, Austin Film Society showed a bunch of silent films, and he just sort of, you know, they didn't even announce it. He was just there doing accompaniments that were wonderful.
Yeah, so. I think has he partnered also? Speaking of that with film, is I'm trying to think about Lou Savisky. Is that his
Luke
name?
Luke Savisky,
who has done a lot of.
I have some photos I should post to Slackerwood for us. They did a wonderful experimental thing at Harry Ransom Center earlier this year, late last year. I can't remember, but he had this special piano he brought in, and Luke did these wonderful images to accompany the music, and it was very cool. So obviously somebody would love to talk more about in another podcast. Brian Satterwhite would also be excellent. He is a local composer, and I think he did Artois the Goat this year. Is that Brian Satterwhite?
I think so.
And he's done some other movies that I can't remember right now, but we hope we'll be able to talk to him. Speaking more about local movies, let's talk about what's playing this week that we would like to see. And although I have seen this movie 3 times at this point, I have to tell you guys that if you haven't seen Chalk yet, it's playing Wednesday at Bob Bullock as part of the Austin Film Festival's Made in Texas series. And the director and writer will both be there, Chris Moss and Mike Acol, whose names I'm probably mispronouncing. I apologize. But you really want to see this movie. It was shot in Austin, and it's about teachers, and it's kind of done in a style similar to The Office. And I saw it at Austin Film Festival with an audience full of teachers who were just roaring. So bring a teacher and go see it.
Yeah, I definitely want to catch that. I haven't seen it yet myself, but I'm sure I can fit it into my busy schedule over the next week. I think I actually am double booked one night going to see, In the Loop.
Yes, and there's a screening of In the Loop. I think if you're a Fantastic Fest badge holder, you can sign up on their Facebook page to go see that Wednesday night.
And then speaking of which, I have to comment on the fact that Inglourious Bastards screening sold out in a record 1 minute.
1 minute. Well, that was the Cinemapocalypse tickets. I think you can still buy the Austin Film Society screening tickets that are $100 a pop, the VIP tickets.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, that's the same night they show it in the other Ritz Theater. While we're talking about Fantastic Fest, by the way, they are showing this film Nollywood Babylon at the Ritz. I believe tonight, and also Wednesday night. Check the Alamo schedule. This was supposed to play Fantastic Fest, but they released it earlier, so they're showing it now. And it's about the Nigerian film industry.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds really, apparently amazing. It's just crazy. So I'd like to step over there and see that this week.
Well, I think, you know, one of the great things about Fantastic Fest is that you get to see so many movies that are from other countries that otherwise wouldn't make it stateside. So you have and it's interesting to see kind of this trend. 2 years ago, there was a lot of movies out of Spain. This last year was Sweden. And then Wolfhound, which I got my DVD the other day, very happy about. As far as you can tell, Wolfhound only screened twice in the U.S., and it was at the Fantastic Fest.
And where is that?
I want to say it's Russia, but I'm not quite. I think I probably got that country right, and I'm sure that Cargill will make me suffer for it later for not remembering the actual country of origin. We can get that before we get done.
But check Slackerwood's movies this week if you really want to find out a more complete schedule of what's playing in Austin right now. And of course, we'll update you on as we get more info on more stuff. Fantastic Fest, by the way, as you were listening to this probably, Fantastic Fest is releasing their second wave of films, their announcement about it. And we're looking forward to see what other goodies they're coming up with this year. So we will be posting that on Slackerwood as fast as our little fingers can post it following the announcement. So if you haven't seen it yet, go look. It should be there. And, you're pulling up the Wolfhound stuff.
Yes, and take a look at that.
Let's take a look real quick before we...
I have to say, it's definitely a very epic kind of movie. Nope, that's not the right Wolfhound. So, but I'll get to that in just a moment.
You know we'll let you know. You know we'll post and let you know. So, all right. What else do we have? Do you have anything else that you're planning to see this week, Debbie?
I have to say, I don't know if I have room for anything. As I said earlier, it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, let's see. Hurt Locker, I saw that still at the theater. Mm-hmm. And Food, Inc., we talked about getting to that. Instead, I chose today to go see Julie and Julia. Kind of a whim to do that because I'm going to go check out the Fantastic Feast tomorrow and get some pictures of that prep. John and Trish have been working really hard on that. They have four feasts. And we didn't talk about this yet, did we? There's one feast still available?
That's right. There are tickets left for the Thursday the 13th feast. If you want, it's all foods from the movie Julie and Julia. And I have to say that movie is a good movie to have a feast with, not just because it makes you hungry, but it's one where you can kind of eat and watch without feeling like you're missing too much. I don't mean that to sound critical, but it's a good eat and watch movie, unlike, say, The Simpsons movie, which was a terrible eat and watch movie.
And I don't think, if you don't make it a feast, the nice thing about there is they do have the Blockbuster specials that, you know, often they'll do these themes, and we'll actually, I'll be posting a blog entry this week, talking about how Trish comes up with a lot of this. Again, why is we always wind up talking about food?
But I noticed that.
And we even ate before this. But I actually had the stuffed chicken breast, and I have to say, after seeing that movie, I was inspired that I stopped on the way over here by Half Price to see if I could, you know, actually pick up any of her older French cookbooks. And I did find something from like 1960. It wasn't Julia Child's, but still it was a French mm-hmm. book. And I like collecting old cookbooks like that. But I think that's really great, kind of inspiring people to, you know,
learn. I think it is inspiring people to go back and look at Julia Child's cookbooks. And I'm seeing that the YouTube videos of her are getting huge traffic because they're so much fun to watch. Some of them are probably more fun than the movie. But keep an eye on Slackerwood because we have Debbie talking about, we will have Debbie recapping the Band Slam red carpet and also mm-hmm. Getting us some pictures from the Julia and Julia feast. Jen has some really cool stuff up her sleeve this week that I don't want to say until we've published it, but you'll have to go look. And we have two red carpets, and Jen, Debbie, and myself will all be at Cinemapocalypse this weekend. So if you are going, you should say hi to us, and we will be there kicking butt and taking notes. But that's all we've got for this week. Keep an eye on slackerwood.com, and we have plenty of cool news for you coming up. And I'm Jet Kernian.
I'm Debbie Serta.
And you've been listening to the Slackerwood Podcast.